Hello everybody, it's Jasmin again, solo without Vedran, and this is Dead IT Show. Today we are talking about 602 instruction set, and we are going to delve a little bit into assembly language again, and we are going to do some loops. But before that, let's roll the intro. Before we go any further, this is just expansion of what I was talking a couple of episodes ago, and this is the difference between what we call an instruction and what we call an actual opcode. Usually when we're dealing with instructions, whatever the GPU or CPU is, we are thinking about the function or the instruction or the order or the whatever you like to call it, thing that you're going to write down either in your programming language or in assembly, and you are going to use it to program or to create whatever program structure you required. When it comes to CPUs, instruction is something that you give to the CPU and tell it what to do, but the actual CPU is not satisfied with only having a instruction, because it knows exactly what to do. And an instruction can have multiple different instances or multiple different ways of being written down. So for example, if we take a sample instruction, something like simple like store information from accumulator or the A register to memory, STA, this instruction can be issued in different ways. You can tell it to write to the zero page, you can tell it to write to a location in the memory that is not on the zero page, so not on the first page in the memory. You can tell it to write with on a particular address with some offset, and so on and so on. We were talking about addressing modes before, so I'm not going to go back into this. But what I need you to understand is that whenever you are dealing with an instruction in 602, and when you are writing down an instruction like STA, you're simply telling your compiler that you want to translate this into a given set of steps that CPU is going to actually do. And what your compiler or your assembler is doing, your assembler is going to get your instruction, see what the actual addressing mode and what the actual way that you intended your instruction to work is going to be, and then it is going to translate it into an actual opcode. Opcodes are what CPU understands. So a CPU, when it sees the opcode, or the opcode gets it loaded from the memory into the CPU, it knows what to do and what steps to take. So an opcode is an actual instruction. An instruction that we perceive as instruction, so assembly instruction, that short, in 602 case, three-letter abbreviation, is different from an opcode, because you can have a single instruction and then you have multiple opcodes connected to it. What I have in front of me, and you have in front of you, is a table. This table on the left says high and low. The left column is the first number of the value of the byte that denotes the opcode. So this is basically the first four bits. Row, or the low part, is the last four bits. So combination of the high and the low part defines the actual opcode. And this is the list of all the instructions that the CPU knows. You will notice as soon as you start paying attention that this thing has multiple instructions that are repeating. And the reason for this is that a single instruction, depending on the way that you invoked it, so depending on the way that you called the arguments or got the arguments in, is going to be translated into different opcodes. In our example, we are going to go with the STA, so store information from the accumulator to the memory. And depending on the way that we are doing the addressing, we can either address the zero page, we can address the actual memory address, we can do some sort of an offset, we can do zero page offset, we can do indirect addressing, and so on and so on. And all of these versions of the instruction have different opcodes. Let's just use the most common one, so the absolute value. And let's take a look what the instruction set tells us about this instruction. The instruction set defines the different things that the CPU is able to do. So all the instructions are going to be shown here. And usually, unless we have some extremely probably particular case, we are not going to be caring about the opcodes. We are going to be caring about the instructions, and we are going to be thinking about an instruction as the abbreviation code, and then the operators or operands depending on the programming language. In 6.02, all the mnemonics or the names of the instructions are 3-letter long, and they are followed by either one or two or none of the operators. And the instruction set is simple because some of, as you can see, probably see here. So for example, SEE is set interrupt disable. And this one sets the interrupt to be disabled. So this instruction doesn't have any operands because it doesn't require any. There are no arguments to it. You just say SEE. And then what this part of the documentation shows is that the instruction itself is going to put one into the I set the registers. This is this flag or the flag registers. This is the flags. So the flag is going to be set to one. And the opcode is going to be 78. It also says that the addressing is implied because there is no addressing. It is implied since you are dealing with the interrupts that you are going to just set the flag here. And these two numbers here represent the number of bytes in the memory that this instruction is requiring, and the number of cycles it takes to run this instruction on 6.02. Since 6.02 is a pretty simple processor, the processor itself has fixed number of cycles per instruction. So it is unable to do instructions in parallel, and it doesn't have any ways of doing any parallelization. And this, in our particular case, is a good thing, because this is why we are choosing to use 6.02 to understand how the processor works. So let's go back to our STA, because it's more complicated. What STA does is transfers the value from accumulator to the memory. It doesn't set any of the flags. And then it has different ways of being called. So it can be called on a zero page, it can be called to a zero page with an offset, it can be called on any other location in the memory with an offset, we can do indirect referencing on the memory and so on and so on. And you're going to see here that the addressing mode is directly connected to the way that the instruction is called. So STA and the number. And if this number is 8-bit, this is 0 page, because we only require 8-bit number to reference the first 256 bytes of memory. Then we have 0 page with offset. Then we have an absolute referencing, and this is when we are referencing the location in the memory that is outside the 0 page, so any location that requires us to provide it with 16 bits of information. Then the offset and so on and so on. You can also see here the difference between zero page referencing and absolute referencing, because since this one requires only one byte of memory to be referencing the memory, because you will know which page you're referencing, the first one, it requires two bytes to be stored in the memory. These two bytes are what is going to be written down as your program or the actual instructions that your processor is going to get. So if we are addressing something like this, you're going to see an opcode of 85, followed by the location in the memory or the byte that is referenced in the location in the memory that this information needs to be stored in. And if we are dealing with absolute, we require 3 bytes because we require the opcode plus additional 2 bytes to store the address. What I just said about the STA refers to any or the different commands here. And some of them have additional things that you need to understand. There is also something called adding cycles if the page boundary is crossed and adding cycles if the branch occurs on the same page. I'm going to be mentioning this later when I'm going to be dealing with branching. But just to make sure, we are not actually caring about this unless we need to write down how many cycles we expect our program to run. And this is affecting only the number of cycles per particular command or instruction. So for example, if the instruction is something like, this is usually done when we are talking about branching. So instruction is a branching instruction. You're going to see a couple of stars after the name of the instruction. It's going to tell you that the number of cycles may actually vary depending on what is happening and what the instruction decided to do based on the values that it got. Also, the flags. A flag being modified means that after the instruction is done, so for example, transfer index to accumulator, after the instruction is done, these flags are going to be set according to the value that got transferred to the accumulator. So the negative value and the zero value is going to be set if the number was negative or zero. And this plus actually doesn't mean that it is going to be set always, but it means that depending on the value that you transfer to the accumulator, this is going to be set. Minus means that the flags are not going to get modified. If you see a 1, this means that the flags are going to be specifically set to 1. 0 means that they're going to be cleared. And then there is actually referencing memory bit 6 and 7 because some of the operations require this memory bit to set to something. Now, let's talk about illegal instructions, because this is something 6002 is also known for, and I need to make just a small mention of this. If we go back to the start and take a look at this table here, you can see that there are a couple, or more than a couple, of opcodes that are not being used. So, for example, there is an instruction that is under the opcode 00, there is an instruction under the opcode 01, but there are no instructions with an opcode 02. These are empty spaces because they decided not to use those opcodes, but it doesn't mean that those instructions actually do not exist. They can be undocumented, they can actually be completely empty, and this is just one of those things when you need to understand which processor are you running on. So, these instructions here are the instructions that are officially undocumented, and they have mnemonics for them, and they either are not referenced completely or they don't have any reference in any of the documentation. They may have some sort of a problem, like a race condition is mentioned here. There could be problems that require you to pay particular attention to what these instructions do. So, what they're using here is at your own risk. The reason why this exists is that the processor itself, when it was done, enabled the designers to create opcodes that made some sense to them. But you are going to be using those when you specifically require something that is usually not possible in the processor itself. And the other thing is that usually you shouldn't be even trying to use these. If you require a specific instruction that is mentioned here, it's probably better to just create your own function or your own part of the program and try to deal with this instruction that way. So if you need to do something, you probably are better off just creating your own part of the assembly program than trying to use one of these instructions. Now, before we start going back, we also need to mention branching. Let me just go quickly to our EZ6502 and open the assembly, where I was showing you the last time, I was showing you how the assembly language actually works and how the assembly is translated into compiled application. I showed you that you can assemble it. You can take a look at whatever is at location, I don't know, 600, and then take a monitor, and then we can debug it and say step. So this is the assembly version. So these are the opcodes and then the values. And for example, you can see the thing that we are talking. So LDA01 became A901. And if I take a look at the table itself, so A9 here is A9 LDA, and this is an immediate value. So we can see that actual opcode of A901 means store the immediate value of 1 directly to the accumulator, and so on and so on and so on. This is the memory that contains both the data and the opcodes for the different instructions that need to run. The way the processor understands what to do is that it knows where to start. So the processor itself is going to start from the location 600 in this particular case, in this particular emulator. And this is denoted by the number of 600 when you start using the emulator. Since I already pressed step, I executed the first load. So these two bytes go red. The A9 was understood as an opcode. 01 was understood as a value. And then this told the processor to store the value of 1 into the accumulator. And this happened. The thing is that now the program counter is pointing to the value of 0602, so this location too, here basically. And when you say step, we are going to be jumping 3 locations. The reason for this is that the processor knows that this opcode requires 2 additional bytes because it is referencing memory in a 16-bit format, so it requires 2 bytes to reference. And the processor knows to skip over the first, second, and third bit and then point to this one because this opcode requires 3 bytes of storage. So the processor doesn't know what it is executing. It simply knows that the instructions that it has been executed required this many bytes. So as soon as it understood what the instruction is, it is going to increase the program counter by whatever value it needs to, depending on the opcode that it saw. So the information in the memory is both data and both the opcodes, and it's sometimes easy to make an error and more or less tell the processor to go to the memory and read something in the wrong way. So you can, by modifying a program counter or unintentionally doing something like this, you can tell the processor to try to execute part of the memory that was not intended to be opcodes, and vice versa. Sometimes you're going to be making an error and reading part of the opcodes and then interpreting them as data. This is something that is going to happen, and this is a bug usually. So the processor, I always tell, it's silly because it doesn't understand what to do. It is just simply following what you told it to. So it is going to start on a certain value. It is going to go there. It is going to read the first byte that it saw. It is going to interpret that as an opcode. It is going to see how many bytes it needs to read. It is going to read the next few bytes or none at all, depending on the opcode. And then it's going to just continue this loop continuously. This in reality means that your program is going to run linearly. So you are going to be running one command after the other. If you just press step here, you see that I got 3 values in. I wrote them in the memory. I see this is pixels. I mentioned this in the last time I was showing you this. And the thing was that the result of all of this is that I got 6 different instructions read. And then they did what they needed to do. So the result is this. These 3 pixels being set, or 3 locations in the memory being set. Now, this is fun. And this is a great thing to do. But the problem that we are going to be facing is that unless you are able to change the way the instructions flow, or change the way the instructions are being, the order in which the instructions are being executed, you are not going to be able to do a lot of things. If you want to, for example, create something that is going to be interactive, you want to be dealing with, I don't know, creating a small game, trying to wait for an input or something, you need the way to make decisions. And this is where looping and creating branches comes into play. If you had any experience with any of the programming languages, even if you had any experience with any other ways of trying to tell some process what to do, you're probably familiar with the idea of having a branch or having a decision point. Usually we are calling it an if command. So if you are telling to the particular process, if you see this, do this, or if you see that, do another thing. So usually what is going to happen is that you're going to have something that is going to run, then your process is going to come to a decision point, you're going to give it a value, and you're going to tell it, okay, if the value satisfies this condition, do this. If this condition is not satisfied, please do the other thing. The way that this is done in the higher level languages is that you are usually actually using the command that is called an if or something similar, but usually it's an if. And this if command is usually structured in a way that you are expecting it to be. So you have some sort of equation or some sort of limiting factor that needs to be calculated, and then you, based on this value, you are going to do something or not do something. In the assembly, the situation is a little bit more complicated. And the reason for the complication is because the CPU, as I said, is silly. The processor, since it is only capable of doing something based on what is in the registers right now, so either being the A, X, and Y registers or being it the flag registers, the processor is unable to do complex things. So you need to think for it. If you want to create some sort of a complex code, you need to break it down into smaller chunks and then deal with those chunks separately. Or to put it another way, if you want to create branching, you need to think for the processor and you need to give it simple instructions. Let me quickly go and try to do a simple loop. Let me just create the simplest possible branching, and let me say this. I'm going to load the accumulator with the value. I'm going to then, if the value is bigger than zero, or to be more precise, if it's positive and bigger than zero, I'm going to go and store this value at the location that is going to be 200, so the first byte here. And I'm going to store the value, if the value is zero or less than zero, I'm going to store it on another location. I'm going to probably use the location 216, for example, or 0020A as the location to store the information in. So let's see how we could code this. Let's take a look at the 6502 instruction set. Branching is done by instructions that are called B something. And if you take a look here, they're pretty simple. They start with a B. So there is a branch on carry clear, branch on carry set, branch on equal, bit test, branch on minus, branch on not equal, branch on plus. All of these check for some information in the flags. So for example, if I say right now I want to branch on plus, it is going to tell if the N is zero, it is going to a branch. If the N is not zero, it's just going to ignore this thing. So the thing that I need to know is that this is going to run and it is going to execute if it notices that the flag N equals zero. Flag N is the one that denotes if the number in the accumulator is negative. So what this means is that if you say BPL and then an operator, this operator is going to be a label, I'll show you this, your processor is going to come to this point, take a look at the flag, the N flag. If the N flag is not set, so if the flag is suggesting that the number in the accumulator is actually positive because it doesn't have a negative sign, then the branch is going to be executed. Otherwise, it is just going to go and not do anything. So let's try and do something. Let's experiment on this and let's say, okay, I have loaded the value of 1 into the accumulator. Then I'm going to say BPL and I'm going to say need label and I'm going to say positive. I'm going to branch to positive. Then I'm going to define what this label is. And then I'm going to say STA store to the location 200 the value that I just gave you. So if the value in the accumulator is positive, go to this label and then store it. If I assemble this, and I should be able to assemble this, STA, okay, So the first error I made is that I tried to reference a value that is a number, and this doesn't make any sense. So if I assemble this, I can run it, and I'm going to debug it because it's simple to do this. I'm going to step into it. I loaded the value of 1 into the accumulator. Then when I step, I'm moving forwards to 604. I got the pixel here set, and that's it. There are no more instructions to do. What is happening if I just go and create a value of 00? This is also a positive number, so this should work. But what happens if I create a value of 80? If I assemble it, reset it, and go to the debugger. I got the value of 80 into the accumulator. As soon as I got it in the accumulator, my one flag for end flag was set because this value, from the perspective of the processor, is negative. This one has a set has the first bit or the most significant bit in the byte has been set, so this is a negative number. If I step into it, what is going to happen is that my next command is not going to do anything. It is not going to jump to the location, to the next location, but instead it's just going to continue. And then this is going to be it. Since I didn't do anything other than this, what happened is that my instruction has been skipped, so it didn't go here. And the thing that happened is that I just got something in the memory. Now, I need to make a few things, because since I'm just doing a live demo here, I also need to point out a few things that actually happened. And these are the things that are interesting if you're doing any kind of programming. When I told my computer to reset, I told it to reset to accumulator being 00, x being a 0, y being 0, and so on and so on. What didn't happen is that the location 600 didn't reset to 0. And what does this mean? This means that the information that I got here, so A9, 8010, 00AD, 0002, and then 00 and so on and so on and so on, is not all the information that was put into the memory by this run of the assembly. When I created the previous program, this previous program wrote the entirety from here to here, because it required many more bytes than this one. This one is smaller. The processor is not going to be reset in this particular simulator, or to be more precise, the processor itself is going to be reset, but the memory is not. So what happened here is that my program, let me just show it again. When I stepped into it, I got the accumulator running, then I executed the command here. What happened then is that I got the information, this one was executed. Then I got the information checked. So BPL was doing the comparison. It was checking if this one is positive. It said no, so it didn't execute. And then what happened after this is that my program counter just kept increasing. And the reason why this is important is because the useful program, the part of the program that I intended to execute, has been done. But since the processor doesn't understand how long the program is, I need to make sure to finish it. Otherwise, the process is just going to continue going into the memory and executing the rest of the memory like it is just some part of the instruction set or the instructions that I gave it. So somewhere later, it is going to stumble upon an instruction that is going to first load the value of 8 into the memory, and then it is going to store this, accumulator, and then it is going to load the accumulator to the memory. So what I actually did here is I created a bug. And this bug is something that shouldn't happen. I should be always making sure that I either clear the memory before I do anything, or I need to make sure that my application is stopping at the right place. So what I can create here is I can just say end, and then I can just say jump end. And this is going to do this. Either it is going to jump to the positive, or it is going to go to the end and then end up in the dead loop. But this dead loop here is going to be the end of the program, because the program itself is not going to continue into the rest of the memory, and it is not going to mistakenly read part of the memory in such a way as to create a problem. And this is dependent on the assembly that you are using. When you're using this one, EC602, usually you don't need to pay too much attention to it, because you can actually reset the entire set. But if you are dealing with the actual processor, you can either make sure that the memory itself is cleared, or you need to make sure that your program is finishing in such a way that it actually stops. So if I just assemble this and if I press run, you can go and see that nothing happened. And nothing happened simply because this number is not positive. So it didn't jump, it just continued doing what it needed, and that's it. So this is the first thing that we tested. Let's create simple decision, or let's create a simple branch. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use a instruction that is called BPL. BPL means branch if positive value, or branch if positive. This instruction looks like this. BPL, branch on result plus, means that if the value in the flags, the n value or negative value, is set to 0, so if the number in the accumulator is positive, it is going to jump. Otherwise, it is not going to jump. So let me try to create a simple application. The idea is this. I want my program to read the accumulator, and then depending on the value, to either write that value to the start of the video memory, so to the location 0200, or if the value is negative, I want to write the value of, let's say, 3, whatever the 3 represents, which color it represents, let's write it down to the location 0220, so 220 hexadecimal. How do I do this? Since there is no way to interact with the processor right now, there are ways, but we are going to be talking about them much later. I'm going to just directly go and get location in the memory. So I'm just directly going to say value of 1 is going to be set into the accumulator. And then I'm going to do this. I'm going to say if the value is positive, jump to a location that is called positive. Then I'm going to define this location, positive. And then I'm going to say store whatever is inside the accumulator, store it at the location, so 200 hexadecimal. Then I need to do something if the result is not positive. So if the result is negative. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to search for the opposite of this. So I'm going to try to find branch on result minus. So if the result is negative, how to jump? So I'm going to say this BMI. So I'm going to just say, okay, now if the result is negative, jump to negative. And then I'm going to tell it to just first LDA 03 and then STA at location 220, as we said. So the idea of this is simple. I'm going to load a value into the accumulator. I'm going to first try to see if it's positive. If it is, I'm going to just straight jump into this location, and then I'm going to do this. If the value is not positive, it is just going to go straight through and then jump, try to see if the value is negative. If it is, it is going to go to this one, and if it isn't, it's going to go straight through. Now this has been testing for the positive value and the negative value. We can also have a zero value, so let me quickly just test and see if the result is 0, branch on result 0, so which branch will be equal. And I'm going to use this one, and I'm going to say if the result is B EQ, if the result is 0, go to 0. And I'm going to create 0 here, and this one is not going to do anything. Now, before I do all of this, the idea behind what I just did is completely sane. But this program has a couple of errors, and I made them on purpose. So let's first start and see what is happening and what is not happening. What is happening is as I would expect, and what is not expected. So first I also obviously need to assemble it. So I got it assembled. And now let's debug. So A is equals to 1. My program counter points to 6002. So basically it is pointing to the next location, so this one. Then I'm going to be executing this, and it is going to jump to 608. This is because it went to the location of this particular command. I can then step. I'm going to write white pixel here. So far so good. But the problem that happened is that since the application itself doesn't have any other way to jump back up or jump back down, the assembly is going to be assuming the silliness of the processor. So what is going to happen is that the processor is just going to continue executing. So if I just say step, it is going to get the value of 3 in the accumulator, and then it is going to put a pixel here. What this actually means is that your application is not working as intended. Your application did the branching correctly, but once it branched, it continued running. So this is one of those things where the assembly is completely different from other programming languages. In other programming languages, you need to finish your function. In assembly, you don't have functions as such, but you need to understand that as soon as you finish one command, unless you are doing an actual branch after this, your program flow is just going to continue. So what I need to do here is I need to create additional label, let's call it end, and say jump to the end. I also need to say in the negative, I need to say jump or jump end. Because if I don't do this, what is going to happen is that my positive is going to get executed, and then my negative is going to get executed. If I do this jump, I'm going to skip over this part of the code. So I have a positive outcome, negative outcome, and zero outcome. And now this should work. So now if this is correct, if I run it, I'm going to see just one pixel being written down. If I put a negative value here, for example, 80, going to assemble and run it, I see another pixel on the other location. So this is working. And if I put a zero here, and if I assemble it and run it, there are no pixels outputted because the value is zero. So this works. But the important takeaway is that my assembly required me to understand that unless I tell it to jump somewhere, it is not going to do it by itself, but it is going to continue reading the memory and trying to execute different instructions as long as there are instructions to execute. So let's call this a simple thing and a simple jump. Now, let's do a loop. Now that we know how to create different parts of the code. What we are going to do is we are going to create a simple loop that is going to go into the video memory and is going to run from the start of the video memory for the first, let's say, F location, so for 16 locations, and then it is going to be stopping, and let's say I'm going to be, this is 16 here, it's 32 bits, so let's call it first 1F locations. So we are going to fill the first line of the window memory here. What I'm going to do is this, I'm going to first get a value into the memory. So I'm going to say go and put 01 into the memory, so this is white color. Now, the next thing I need to do is I need to create some sort of a counter. The way of creating a counter would be to create either a counter that is going to count from zero to the value that I'm requiring, or I can do a counter that is going to count from whatever the value I set or the value I wanted back to zero. Usually in the assembly, it's easier to just compare to zero. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the X register as a counter, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to load the value of 1F to the X register. And this is going to be my counter. Then I'm going to create a loop. And my loop is going to look like this. First, I'm going to write down the value from the accumulator to the video memory. So I'm going to do STA200. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to write the video memory with the from the start, so from number 200, then indexed by X. So this means that what the CPU is going to do, it is going to take the value that I gave it, 200, it is going to increase it by the X, so the value of the register X, and then it is going to get this as a value, and it's going to write to this particular location the value from the accumulator. Now, I need to decrease the value in X, and then, unless we have reached the zero, I need to loop. So, what I can do here is I need to search for a branch. So, let me search for a branch. Let me see this. If the branch is zero, this means that I have reached zero. If I do it this like this here, if I say if the branch is zero, jump somewhere, this is not going to help me a lot, because what I want to do is I want to say to it, unless the number in the X or unless the number in X equals zero, I want you to jump back to the loop. So let me see if there is anything that says Z equals zero, not Z equals one. Branch on result not zero. This is better. Branch on Z equals zero means if the Z is not set, then branch. So, let me try to do this. BNE, and I'm going to say loop. Let me assemble this, and let me run. So, this is kind of sort of correct. This works, but let's see if I have a problem. First, this pixel has not been set. The reason for this is that since I'm first writing, then decrementing, then checking. In the last step, I'm going to have a value of 1 here. I'm going to decrement it to the 0. And then I'm going to step if the value is not 0. And since the value is 0 here, I'm not going to perform the last loop. And this last loop should be the one that should be 200 plus 0. So the location 200. So based on this loop that I have here, my loop is unable to reach it. Now, I can do two things. Either I can do a decrease in the start and start from the location is going to be one off. So basically, this is one off error. I can either start on the location 20, then first start with decrease and then do a loop. Or what I can do is I can just say, do not loop unless the value that you saw here is negative. So ignore the value of zero, but loop unless the value is negative. Let me see which one is this. So branch on result minus, this is not one, but branch on result plus is okay. So if I do a BPL, this is going to include me looping both through all the positive numbers and then a zero. And then when I reach the negative value, or to be precise, when the value basically got into the values that are 0 minus 1, so that's a negative value, then my loop is going to stop. So let me assemble and run it, and now it works. The first line has been filled, so this works. And this is the way the loops work. What I can do now is that, let's say if I want to start from a different location, I can modify this one. So I can say, okay, now start from here. I need to reset it also. Then I need to start it. Okay. Why is this wrong? Because as soon as I try to check the location FF or the number FF and to check if the number has been negative, the number itself is negative. So this won't work with this actual value. What I can do, or the biggest number I can use is probably 7F, because this is the biggest number that is positive. If I assemble and run it, it's going to work. So this is BPL makes a problem for us, because I need to be sure that the number that I'm aiming for is going to be positive.